I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
He wanted to go home, and we dragged him to Scarborough first.
Don't even start.
Well, you think this is my fault?
I couldn't believe it.
I don't know. I'm trying to make him stop.
I don't understand.
What the hell's going on, Jack?
You can't put us in danger like this again.
Not recommended.
We're devoid of imploded.
Who wants to be in charge?
I'll tell you one thing.
Maybe you just don't understand how it works.
I just saw you turn invisible, and then you ran.
It's called tactical advantage.
I guess that didn't go quite as good as we had hoped it would go, but we're all alive.
And then he looks down at Alistair's lifeless body there on the ground.
Oh.
Welcome back to Dice Shame. This is Season 2, Episode 67, Cut Down to Size.
MVP this week goes to Heather, who commented on our Instagram post, saying that she listens with her son, Jake, and that they both love the show. Apparently, they have their very own Dice Shame jar with a clay dragon on top. I love this so much. Thanks for listening, Heather and Jake. You are both this week's MVP.
Thanks, guys.
All right, should we play some D&D?
Yeah, let's do it.
You know what's funny? No, you don't want fruitcake at Christmas because you've got all these other delicious desserts waiting for you. And then there's that fruitcake that comes that stays in the package.
Yeah, there's other stuff I want at Christmas.
Speak for yourself.
But if you asked me right now, because I don't have any sweets in the house, do you want this fruitcake? I'd say absolutely yes. I feel
wow.
Like
wow.
You don't have any. You don't have any. So you like it. You just wouldn't go for it over
probably
other
the
things.
Last thing. Yeah.
What's your favorite Christmas sweet?
Oh, that's a good question.
I like those little gingerbread that Grandmama always makes. Those tiny little gingerbread
the
guys.
The tinier the better. They're Carlin very... always makes legions of tiny gingerbread.
Yeah.
Men.
Also, those tiny little Christmas white chocolate mints. Those are very nostalgic for me.
I think my favorite Christmas cookie is sausage rolls.
No one said they had to be
no, that's
sweet.
Perfect.
Hey, you could pinwheel those. That's
yeah. I like a savory treat. You know what? I would go for a ham tart. I'm with you. I could pick a savory Christmas treat.
I'm sorry. A ham tart? Yeah, pardon me.
You've heard of a fruitcake. This is a ham tart.
I don't know. A ham tart is like in my mind there were two things that jumped to mind. A ham tart, and once we introduce savory things, which is just a little tart, flaky pastry thing with some like
some prairie shit right there,
ham salad thing inside it, and baked. So it's like a savory little treat thing. It's delicious.
Ham.
And then the
ham
other one,
tarts and fruit
cake. Our family only calls pink cake, and it's like a cherry ice cake thing. But I don't have a recipe for it. It's a I don't know.
I like that.
Hold
pink
on.
Cake sounds delightful.
It's really good.
Rewind to ham tart.
Let's revisit.
Is it just a piece of like what's the context?
So, is it flaked ham or
suspended
is it like,
in jelly? Is it like a sausage?
It's
roll?
Like a chunk? Flaked ham seasoned with some stuff. It's like a meat pie except very small and okay. But it's in tart size, so it's
salty. Is it like pinkish in color? It's like a spam tart.
This is prairie stuff. This is I'm in Alberta now.
I don't.
I'm getting like a very monocolor. Spread here. Pink cake, ham tart.
You have to name this episode Ham Tarts and Fruitcakes.
I will. You know what? I'll try and. It. They're delicious. I'll try and find a picture of one at some
ham
point.
All my ham tart Googles cakes. Are way too fancy for what Rob is describing.
Yeah, these are. Ooh. This is.
Oh, I thought you were
like
say.
Ham and Gruyere puff pastry.
No, there's no cheese in it. It's more like a. It's like a flaked ham.
It sounds like spam.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
Yeah, you're like not wrong. It's 100%
a
canned ham experience.
That's
not
a bad thing.
Yeah.
Like a binding agent of some kind?
Well, spam doesn't eat it.
You know what? I've never made it myself. I've only ever consumed it. And so I don't really know what goes into it. I just sort of sometimes put out into the universe, you know, I'd really love a ham tart around Christmas. And then sometimes...
I'm imagining those frozen tart shells with just loose pieces of cubed ham
set in there.
Well, that's why I asked. Was it like... I thought it was like... In my mind, it was like suspended in jelly. You know what I mean? Ew. Like cubed ham suspended in like
so
gelatin.
So apparently there's cream of mushroom soup involved.
Of course it is.
Like
okay, now I'm
ham.
On board. Bring it.
Last time I went up to visit my mom in Ottawa, I put it out into the universe. You know, if you don't feel like making them... No big deal, but if you ever did want to make something, a ham tart would be great. And she sent me...
You have
me,
to whisper it into the right ear.
But so she sent me a recipe...
This is a family thing, obviously. You didn't just be like, hey, if you feel like it, make this random
no,
thing.
No.
Summon the ham fairy.
It's just been a... I don't know. It's a thing since forever. So I know it involves canned ham, mushroom soup, and tender flake...
It is canned.
Pastry, lard, whatever.
We went for breakfast at this fancy schmancy restaurant. It was like really, really nice. We sat on this little patio and... It had on the menu eggs Benedict
yum.
With a toasted ham something or other. And anyways, it comes out. It was really, really good, but it was definitely a slice of spam. And I'm like,
yeah.
So you go to this like fancy schmancy restaurant and they still gave you a slice of spam. Although that was the first time having it. Incredible.
Spam like, is good.
Incredible. When you like sear it or whatever.
Yeah.
You know.
Incredible.
It's really good.
That's great.
Yeah.
We should all make a ham tart this Christmas season.
Just interpret it and however you
I
like.
I don't know how much I'd enjoy it, but I'll
That's
try
That's all
it.
You need is lard.
Lard, soup, and canned ham, and something delicious comes out the other side of it. Welcome to the prairies. I don't know what to tell you.
I look
like
forward
step
to the Daishin
one,
Christmas
step
party.
Step two, step three is question
Christmas party.
Step four is
I'm in. Yeah. You'll bring something. But you just said you don't like... Well, this started because you don't like fruitcake.
I want to make one, and maybe I'll like this one. Again, I've only ever really had like those ones where it's just like, here's a rectangle in like plastic wrap. And I've never been like won over by them. I've never been like, damn,
no,
I want another
dry.
One. I've been like...
soak them in booze and wrap them in lard. Right? There's
yeah.
like suet.
Yeah, it seems like
it
a... like a Christmas pudding, except it's a cake instead of
lard. Yeah. Now I love a Christmas pudding.
Right, well, it's like all about the pud.
I mean, but to me, yeah, it's dried fruit that's no longer dried because it's all moist from alcohol or whatever, in some sort of dough, and usually a sauce, like a cream sauce or, you know, an alcohol-based sauce on it, is just a 10. It's funny that we're talking about food, though, because I was thinking about this. You know, we were all talking about the foods that we eat before game night. You said, oh, game night pizza or whatever. Mm. And there's been this running theme of game night sushi.
Yeah, it just happened that way, for sure.
Yeah, last week.
And I was thinking about this, and I know it's not really commonplace to, like, Joe's invent, like, how dare you? A roll.
Fucking jealous.
But I was thinking, if you had to invent a roll for each character in Dice Shame,
one,
right,
six,
what would it be?
A one.
And the one that came to mind immediately was stone crab for Doran, right?
Like, snow crab, oh, crab, sure, explosion, okay,
no,
roll.
Wait, no, there is some sort of stone crab, isn't there?
There's a rock crab. I think. Are you thinking of rock lobster?
Just crab.
Are you thinking of rock lobster?
There's like a pollock, a fake crab.
No, there's like no stone crab. No, there is a stone crab. Yeah.
It is. But you know, a lot of that crab filling is fake crab. It's called pollock.
Pollock.
Right? No, but not in our rule. So, but Doran's rule is a stone crab, 100%, right?
But isn't that funny, though, how you were talking about it? But Doran's a fake crab?
Mm-hmm.
What would everyone else's be? What would your sushi roll be?
What would your character's sushi roll be?
Yeah.
It's a Doran's great, stone great crab.
No. Dynamite roll, you know, with a, with a tail hanging out of my head still.
Why tail?
Or like the shrimp tail hanging out of my nostril or something.
But why? But how is?
Is that like a? Is it a dragon roll? Got like a?
Well, dragon. But you said dynamite. Depends. But also, how does that? Regardless, how does that equate?
I'm imagining because of Doran's beard, always just kind of being aggregating
of
things.
Oh, because being of Doran's weird tail. Because Doran has a hidden tail.
He's got a shrimp tail.
He doesn't have a butthole. He has a tail.
Because he's a shrimp. I get it.
I was gonna make a joke about, you know, red being some sort of cat filled sushi. That's not really fair.
Catfish? No, catfish.
Cat filled.
Deep fried catfish sushi.
Oh, catfish.
Black and catfish.
Wow. Louisiana sushi.
I don't know. But I mean, if you could put anything in it,
I'm sure it's been done.
Red roe in it.
Oh, good.
I'm not sure if it's a sushi roll, but in my mind, there's got to be some pun around like a fresh roll with that like wrapping around it in a scroll of magic somehow that you can make for Jack.
Okay.
There's got to be.
Yeah. All right. See? I dig that. A magic
a sushi
roll. The way they
scroll
do it, yeah. Like the,
it's a magic hand roll.
Yeah, it's of course a magic hand roll. Yes, you're 100% right.
Yes. I feel so good
You've
about thinking
done
about
it.
That.
The mage hand roll.
I feel
there
so validated
go
right now.
And Mari's just a couple.
Well, Mari,
of water.
I mean, there's blue. It'd be like it could be like blue crab or some sort of like bluefin tuna.
And Mari's just a it's a series of
it's a soup.
Seaweed.
It's just,
seaweed.
It's seaweed salad and then sashimi on the side. There's no rice. I don't know.
No, it could be something cold.
just a bowl of water.
Doran's like the tempura fried sweet potato.
When Doran is tempura, I don't know why it just feels right. Doran is a big bowl of tempura.
Just the crunchy bits.
Yeah, he's just like, oh, this is great. I love fish. And he's eating like a big chunk of eggplant or something. And he's like, this is great.
Spicy tempura.
You ever get that tempura veggies? Oh, they're delicious.
No, you know what? Mari's would have to have some sort of like wet, like there's gotta be some sort
roll
of like, oh, like a gnocchi mushroom or something where like she always talks about her wet hair, God. You know what I mean, like some sort of like thing,
well, like,
in the center
in my head I imagine like a vegetable explosion roll where you have the julienne cucumbers all through it, like the
like a julienne, there you go.
Yeah, it would probably just be like a veggie blue roll because she's a dirty hippie.
Dye
so
blue,
yeah, it would be vegetarian, that's true. Yeah, yeah. She wouldn't want to hurt anybody.
Maybe a little seaweed salad in there somehow, I don't know.
Oh, 100%. There is seaweed salad through everything. You cannot escape it. There is so much seaweed
in
this thing.
Finger bowls to wash your fingers in just because it's water.
Wait, did we decide what Red's was? You just said roe.
No, cat. I figured
it's
roe.
It's cat in a sushi
catfish
somehow.
It's, he's catfish with a bunch of fries on the side. He is not at the sushi restaurant.
I'm a different
he just left.
Sushi. Yeah. I'm a chicken wing.
He's one of those appetizers that you get at the sushi restaurant where you're like,
I'm
not your specialty.
Oh, he's a sushi pizza. Red is a sushi pizza.
Yeah.
That does work. I like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's interesting because the D&D cookbook has tabaxi flavors as...
Yes, they have the Tabaxi chicken wings.
Which is dusted with...
Garam masala. They're very good.
And weirdly enough, when I ate it, I was kind of like, okay. I kind of get, you know, Mazdika, and you got kind of like the different vibe. Where you think of Waterdeep is kind of more, you know,
so, meat and potatoes. You know what's funny? I was looking for steak seasoning at one point, and I ended up using garam masala. Mm. Really, really good for a steak seasoning.
Would be
really
good.
Like very, very interesting. And it gave me that. It gave me that same effect that you're thinking.
Mastican steak.
You know, it's sort of like how we,
so you're eating a cat.
It's not its normal application.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? No, it's really, really good. So I'd have something like that.
It's got to be. I cool. See, but now I'm stuck trying to find the corn dish that could have no ears for Red.
Ooh.
Oh, I like that'd that be fun. Too.
Something earless. Although all the art of Red just negates that. They're like, ah.
Everybody's like, yeah, I know you described that, but fuck you. You don't get to decide what we think your character is.
Everyone's getting them fucking ears.
We're the audience.
I don't care what you say.
You know what? I don't mind.
He's got ears and Jack's a fucking Chad.
I learned about the Ginger Jack agenda recently.
Yes, which makes total sense to me.
Does it?
I don't know.
Does it?
Yeah, because we all hate Jack.
Whoa!
So
I'm kidding. Oh. I'm teasing. So
I think Harlan, you're the closest to being
I'm
Ginger
the closest
yourself.
Real life Ginger. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, I have red and white hair, and also, you know,
red.
I love. Yeah. No, I mean, it's definitely just stupid to hate somebody because of the color of their hair. I just think it's. It's a trope, and I thought it was really funny.
For Jack, we'll make an exception.
But yeah, no, I didn't. It doesn't make sense to me.
I was just thinking as a kappa, because kappa is like a Japanese, like it's like a frog turtle. It's like a
fertile.
It's like a water demon thingy.
Sure,
kappa
sounds like you're describing
a fertile
Koopa Troopa?
Chupacabra?
Yeah, exactly. The Koopa dudes are based on Kappa. That's a true fact.
Well, there you go.
Koopa?
You know.
What the fuck are we talking about?
We're talking about Super Mario.
Koopas? I feel like we've lost it here. Regardless, fruitcake.
You know what reminds me a lot of Super Mario? Dungeons and Dragons. What?
Dungeons and Dragons.
Okay, how though? lay it out for me.
Well, you're like on this adventure fighting creatures, throwing fireballs with your... brothers,
they've gone down the little tunnel, the tube, and now they're in the Underdark.
I mean, I liked it's an activity you do with your brother. That one seemed good to me. I buy that.
Oh, that's very wholesome.
Not what I said, but I love it.
No, I'm Mari.
Oh.
Mari. Oh. And then we've got the three Luigis. Mario.
Jack is definitely a Luigi.
I'm the guy sitting in the cloud with the camera following you guys.
Yes.
Oh, that's true.
And when we fall off the ledge, you go and you pick us up with the fishing rod and put us back on the edge. Although sometimes you're just like, fall. Enjoy it. Good luck, losers.
Yep. Cool. All right. Fruitcake. Shall we do this?
Let's do this.
Let's do it. It's our safe word, fruitcake.
Fruitcake.
ham tart fruitcake.
those are so different. So
I'm going to make a fruitcake that's fruit studded cakes. With ham.
As the last of the water from Mari's maelstrom sluices from the stone bridge into the lava far below and turns into jets of steam, hand-sized chunks of broken, sparkling rock that were once at the vortex's epicenter slow their spinning and come to a rest. The bodies of four cultists and a wormling lie slain on the tunnel's pathway, leaking blood onto the stone. Poor Ellister Noggins, the gnome you'd rescued from the stone giant Thane, who'd recently come close to endearing himself to you, his broken body is gently thawing on the ground between Mari and Doran. And in and amongst all of this carnage, the effects of Jack's spells are still popping off like fireworks. Jack, all over your body, as the mage armor that you had cast on yourself starts to revolt against the fabric of the magic, turns into the image of worms crawling all around you and into your skin. A cloud of tiny dragons are flying around this cavern, screaming about the silver dragon Clarion's stolen wormling. And then they fall from the sky, hitting these dull plunks on the stone as they turn into pieces of Alistair Noggins, writhing, trying to fit themselves back together. And finally, what was once an illusory wall of stone turns into a pillar of flames as you see an image of Dazan, the illusionist from the Ten Towns. His screams echo in this vast chamber. You hear him say,
"What they would do to an illusionist today, Jack, they may as well do to a noble half-elf tomorrow."
And he turns into ash in front of your eyes.
Jack's leaning against the cave, trying to like keep himself together, half hiding around a corner from his own illusions that are wildly going out of control, whispering to himself, "I don't know why they're doing this. It's not, doesn't make any sense."
Red walks over from across the little passageway. "What the hell's going on, Jack? What the hell is going on?"
"I don't know. I'm trying to make him stop. Just give me a minute. I gotta think through it. The magic isn't working normally. I don't know if it's something to do with this cave or what."
"Yeah. Okay. You figure it out. Take a minute." And Red walks down the hall to where Alistair fell, and he kind of just kneels for a second. "God damn.
Oh. Don't even start."
"What?"
Mari's still sitting there against the wall, and the cultist leader is still at her feet. She's just kind of pulled herself back, but she hasn't gotten up, and she's like, "Don't even start, okay? Wherever you were, I just saw you turn invisible, and then you ran. And all of this happened, and now this," and there's just the weird sort of haze of Jack's kind of flailing magic everywhere that's sort of settling around them. And she just shoots
him. "You think this is my fault? What do you mean?
I'm not saying it's your fault. I'm just saying that
I pulled back because I use a bow, Mari. I went invisible because because I could do that now. And it gave me advantage on attacking. I was trying to protect everyone."
"Great. That's very good. I'm glad that you have such an advantage with this now. I'm glad that you're fine."
"Look, I get that you're pissed off, but don't take it out on me, okay? This is what happens when you engage in battle with people," and Red turns to Doran, "when you are clearly outmatched and you don't have time to prepare, when you go half-cocked on attacking someone without talking first, Doran, you hothead."
And Doran, as you're saying this, before you started saying this, comes around the corner looking proud that, you know, we defeated these guys. But as he's hearing you speak these words, you see the worry return to his eyes. You see sort of the shame, and instead of proud, standing strong dwarf, you see almost one that might have crumbled on the inside a bit.
"If we had taken a damn second, if you could have kept your damn axe in its holster, then we could have talked about this and maybe come back and got the drop on them. Which is what I was trying to do, Mari. Get the drop on them. It's called tactical advantage."
"We could have walked away. There was no reason."
"I guess that didn't go quite as good as we had hoped it would go, but we're all alive."
And then he looks down at Alistair's lifeless body there on the ground.
"I mean, no, you're right. You're right. It was my hothead. It was that damn Clarion. I can't believe... I couldn't believe it. I can't believe that people would worship such a foul beast. I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't understand people. I don't understand anything these days."
"Well, we're never going to understand because they're all dead now, all right? Is that we've accomplished what you wanted to accomplish and now we're here, all right?"
"All right, take it easy. Can't you tell he feels bad enough? Look, I'm sorry. I didn't run away, okay? I got a tactical advantage. I'm sorry it looked like that. I apologize. I get that you felt abandoned. But we're not abandoning you, Mari. Look, we're here now, okay? We made it through. Doran's right."
And then Doran sees the cult leader that's lying in front of you, Mari, and he sees the cudgel in his hands, and he looks at your face and he sees the injuries that you've sustained, and Doran rushes over to you and he gets down to his knees and he starts wiping your wounds. I can't do it anymore. I can't put us in danger like this again.
Okay, all right. Yeah, Mari just kind of lets Doran do that for a second and then kind of pushes his hand away gently because she's not really in the mood of having anybody that close to her at this point. And she kind of starts to stand up. She sort of shakily stands up. And she has a piece of Alistair Noggin in her pocket. And she doesn't know what to do with.
Jack, you've been quiet this whole time.
Yeah, as a minute passes and the effects of his spells wear off and things come back to an equilibrium, he sort of keeps a hand on the wall and walks down the steps of the corridor back towards everybody, a little shaky. We probably don't want to hang around here then, do we?
No, let's check the bodies at least. Red walks over, kicks the dead body at Murray's feet and starts searching it. Maybe these assholes had something of value at least.
You guys want to search these bodies?
Yeah, might as well.
Mari's not. She's going to stand back.
And Doran doesn't either. He walks ahead and he looks down the hallway and listens.
On the cult leader, you find a ring, a magic ring. This silver ring curls around a jagged piece of white howlite and is etched with the appearance of dragon scales.
Ooh.
He also has a letter on him.
Oh. This one's got a letter here, Red says. It says, Norix, the tunnels and caverns around the dwarven settlement of Scarborough are believed to host a clutch of the great worm's eggs. Perhaps as many as 4 in total. Damn. Find them and bring them safely to Parnast. And it's signed Ada Tenebris. That mean anything to you, Jack? And he, like, holds it up.
I don't recognize the name.
Doran would be familiar with the town of Parnast. It is in the southern reaches of the Grey Peaks. Jack has probably also heard tell it's a pretty small town. And on one of the more lowly cultists, you find a bag. It is a beat-up black leather messenger bag stitched with gray and white embroidery on the front flap and pockets.
Oh, Red walks over. There's a nice bag here. He picks it up and starts rooting through it.
Yeah.
Rooting, yeah.
It's strangely familiar in your hands, Red, as you open the front flap to reveal the largest compartment. Your hand goes like way down deep into the bag.
Hey, it's another bag of holding.
Whoa. Yep.
Hey.
You got inside a coin purse holding 55 gold. There's 15 days of rations, some bedrolls and tents, a worn book, a velvet pouch, some odds and ends.
Holy hell. Red looks at the one he's wearing.
I'm just picturing a Red now with 2 bags of holding. Me like, this goes perfect. Yeah. One on
this
each.
Is great. I got 2 bags of holding now. This is brilliant.
He's like a bike.
Bye, losers.
Couldn't you put the bag of holding into a bag of holding?
Nope. No.
Oh, God.
I not recommended. Much.
It will implode.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you open up a portal to another dimension.
Yeah.
And neat. You lose all your shit.
It's always been my last ditch decision.
That should be like stitched on the tag on the outside of every bag.
There is a warning tag on that.
Do not remove this. Do not wash with leg colors. Do not put inside a similar bag of holding or the world will implode.
The way that like a mattress has customer
warranty
tag
void
on the
if.
Side. Warranty void if imploded.
Red looks at the nice, shiny, clean new one and the like the dirty, stinky, stained one he's got. And he's like, this one matches my eyes. Like the one with the red. And he's like, but I guess I already kind of used this one. I got familiar with it. Who wants to be in charge of this bag? And Red walks back over, actually. And he's like, and you know, I mean, look, I know I'm not the most organized, but if someone else wants to be in charge of the gold or something like that. I got enough shit in here anyway that's random in mine, like a jawbone. And he starts looking through his bag. And he's kind of like,
chickens
lots
everywhere.
Of chickens. If you want to start fresh in that one as the group's bag, I'm fine. It's up to you. And then Red walks over to Mar and he's like, maybe you should take this. He's kind of like awkward after being yelled at.
Sure. And she takes it and she uses her non-dominant hand, which is probably a problem because her other one's been bashed in with a club.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Mari, how many hit points do you have?
30-something.
Okay.
I have 39 out of 93. Mari sort of walks over to Jack, who's, I guess, still standing there.
Yeah. Also bleeding out.
Did he get injured?
Oh, yeah.
He's at 46 out of 70, so he got... I can't remember exactly what it was.
Oh.
I lost 20 hit points as well. I think everyone got hit pretty hard. I don't get why Mary's giving him such a shit time.
Honestly...
I got fucked up.
Jack kind of did the worst. Jack didn't do shit.
Yeah, but it wasn't Jack's fault.
For
but
sure.
I none killed of you at are... least a few of these things from being far away.
Right, but none of you are like talking to Jack about like, so where was the magic missile, buddy? Like, where the... hey, wizard.
For Mari, like, this is... the most like physical fight she's been in, like the most sort of direct. Everything else has always been like people at a distance or like a giant thrown a rock at her or something. And this is the first time that she's really just had somebody just fucking go to town on her.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, Mari walks over to Jack. What's going on?
I did everything the same. It like down every gesture, every movement. Textbook perfect, and it didn't do what it's done every other time I've cast those spells before, and that's I don't know what to do about that. It didn't work. Well, it's not that it didn't do anything, it just didn't do the same thing it's always done, and I don't know why. And then he looks down at his hands. Yeah,
I don't understand. It feels wrong. It feels wrong in the air, and I don't know what it is. But yeah, the spells, I recognize them, or at least what you were trying to do. But, and she sort of like looks at Jack's hand, and she kind of takes one gingerly, though they have like the scars on them.
Mm-hmm.
If I did a medicine check, does she still feel that same sort of weird change?
You're confident that your healing abilities aren't going to change these marks on Jack's hands. They feel permanent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because she sort of sees them, and there's this deep knowledge inside of her that no matter how hard she kind of would try to push that magic through, it would just slide off.
Hubris written all over a wizard's hands. That's what that is.
Red approaches behind Doran and just sort of like looks to where he's looking. He's like, anyone up ahead? And, you know, they're a good like 50 feet away from the other two as they're talking.
Roll finish. No.
Just oh, no. Bum, bum, bum. Ah!
You see anything, Doran?
You know what, Red?
Doran stares up into the dark tunnel.
I don't know what's come over me, but I don't know if I can do this for much longer.
Hey. Hey, don't start talking like that. Like, Mari was just pissed off. She has every right to be. She's angry. It's the first real scrape face to face. She's just throwing words everywhere, and they're getting hit with some collateral damage. It's not about you or me, honestly. It's about her, and she's not wrong for feeling it.
Well, you're right, but at the same time, when I was hacking at the giants at Deadstone Cleft, it felt like, I mean, I enjoyed it, but I guess I didn't think twice about it. And now, when I'm hacking up these men, you think that maybe I'd feel some remorse or feel some, I don't know, some sort of discomfort or anything. But you know what?
And he looks right at Red and he looks you in the eye and he says,
I really liked it.
Look, Doran, you're treading on my arc a little bit, bud. But that's okay.
God look, damn.
There's plenty of room. There's plenty of Venn diagram for us. No, just Red's a little bit of a cold-blooded killer too, but that's okay. I'm just teasing.
Did you say that?
Doran, look, snap out of it. We need you, okay? I hear you. You're right. You're a cold-blooded killer. You're enjoying taking down these cultists. And Red almost says like in a hushed voice to Doran, but you know, sometimes maybe we need that, okay? Look, I'm not saying we start chopping up innocents. I'm not saying that you don't question some bad calls that maybe you've made. But we're going to need you. We need people like you, and frankly, people like me, that sometimes are willing to make the tougher calls.
These other two might have walked by these five cultists. And then where would we be in a month? Is Dragon Egg popping open and a whole new clarion wormling to deal with? Have your doubts, but don't lose who you are. We need that. We got a big task on our plate. We gotta be tough.
Well read. And Doran looks back up the dark passageway and he says, you know, you don't run into dragon-loving cultists when you don't go out looking for them. And Doran starts to walk up the dark passage.
Mari, do you want to go see if your Tempest left anything on the bridge after it petered out?
Yeah. I don't know. I thought that spell would work better. I thought we could just go and we could leave. And she starts walking over there. And she's like, I thought it would stop them. I thought we could just leave. And then it just, I don't know. Everything kind of went wrong.
On the bridge, lit by this distant glow of lava, you see these shards of stone. Looks like stone anyway.
I guess if I did one thing, that egg didn't make it out of the whirlpool.
No.
At least not in one piece.
Jack kneels down and scoops up the pieces of this dragon's egg and lays out the portable hull and puts them in it just in case we might need petrified dragon egg later.
Definitely. They almost look like, you know when you open a geode and there's like a fossil inside? It's kind of like that. You can almost discern places where there would have been like dragon bones. This
funky
embryo, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. But everything looks crystalline and quartzite.
A dragembryo.
That's good. Stupid good joke.
Mari just sort of picks up a piece and slips that in her pocket and then remembers again the horrible cold realization that there is a piece of Alistair Noggin in her pocket.
Do we want to keep the whole egg together? In which case it could definitely go in Mari's new funky bag.
I think yes.
Scoop it into the bag.
I think that might be a good idea.
She pops open the bag, which she's just kind of been carrying. She hasn't like actually done anything with it yet. And she sort of lets Jack kind of chuck all of the egg in there. She's like, I'll organize it later at some point. And then she throws her own bag in there.
And Jack has this moment of realization going, oh no, Mari's the new red. How is this better?
Chuck a piece of dragon egg. Every piece is carefully cataloged up here and wrapped, and it's one of the few things I think I know how to do left is preserve a find from the field.
Mm-hmm. She pulls a piece of like a large like piece of fabric out of her bag, like a scarf or something, and she puts the dragon egg pieces in that and ties it like in a knot at the top, so it's in at least in one thing, seeing that Jack is about to lose his mind.
There's a deep sigh of like something finally makes sense in the world. Oh, thank goodness. Thank Lathander.
Yes. Ooh. And she goes and she folds it into this little like fabric package. And,
purely based on Jack's eye roll, though, mm-hmm. just to be crystal clear.
Yes. Yep.
There was a sigh, like, maybe
pure
too.
Pressure into it.
Yeah, she knows. She's seen the inside of
it's like when
Red's
your friend
bag.
Comes over and they see like the state of your closet or whatever, and you're like, fine, I guess.
You're like, don't tell anyone how I live. And yeah, and then she sort of tosses her own bag just in there for now.
So you've got this piece of a gnome with you. What are you guys going to do with the rest of him? Just leave him here?
Is the ground loose enough to dig a hole?
Right here, it's pretty rocky, but further on, like, you can definitely find a shallow bit of dirt.
Jack moves through the tunnel till he finds a place of softer earth. And it's honestly the simplest trick. It should absolutely be within his power. And with that flick of the wrist where the earth is supposed to move, a picture of a hole appears. But it's definitely not a hole.
Red like walks over and it's just a picture and he taps it and he's like, oh, right. Hey, don't worry about it, bud. What are you trying to do? What are you digging a hole for?
I thought we'd put Alistair somewhere and I just wasn't even...
And Red turns to Mari as she's walking back and he's like, well, can we bring him back or... Well, what's the deal?
And she just sort of standing there looking at this pile of chunks and this image of a hole in the ground. I like to imagine in my head it's like a piece of paper with like a poorly scribbled, like a child's drawing of a hole on it with like an arrow point. It says hole.
Yeah, I'm imagining like an Acme, like Roadrunner type guy.
Yeah.
One of those drawn holes cruel. In the ground that looks 3D from one angle and you turn around to the other angle. And it's just a weird,
that's pretty
just
good.
A weird shape.
Yeah, it looks like it's stretched up the wall.
Not only are you impotent, but your illusions are also inadequate. So there you go.
You know, it's a wave of a hand. Sometimes it gets away from you.
Dorn comes back down.
So can we bring him back or what?
I can. In theory, I can.
Okay, so we don't have to bury him then. Should we collect his pieces or?
I don't need all of him. I just need a little bit, and I have that. So wherever, if we can go somewhere quiet, I can try. I can try to bring him back if that's what we want to do.
Yeah, of course. I mean, look, why don't you leave Dorn and I to clean up this mess? And he gestures to Alistair and the dead bodies. You two head a few feet ahead down the tunnel, make sure it's safe, and we'll catch up.
And it's at that point when you turn around and Dorn's already standing now back in the room where you guys are all standing.
Sound good, Dorn?
He listens to the end of that conversation and he looks at Red and he looks at Mari and then he looks at Jack and he says,
I don't know about any but you, but I don't think we should be bringing anything back from the dead. He's a poor little guy that lost his life and I'll take full responsibility on that, but, you know, things that die. It's unnatural.
That's excellent. Well thought out. Thank Inspiration.
You. Yes, I never, and Red is like genuinely taken aback. And like, he, like, oh shit, you're right. I didn't even think about that.
This isn't the work of some cursed shield. This is Mari. And Alistair doesn't deserve this death. He wanted to go home, and we dragged him to Scarborough first. This is all on us. If there's an option for him to have a nice life back, I think we risk it.
Jack.
I'm not saying you're wrong. Alistair didn't deserve to die. I mean, not many people that die do, but Doran's got a great point. I mean, Kraloth came back from the dead, and you know, he despised what he became so much that he ended up deciding to end his own life anyway. I mean, what if Alistair doesn't want to come back?
Mari's kind of listening to this because, obviously, she doesn't know Kraloft and she doesn't know much of this story.
Just call him Kraloft?
Because he hasn't listened to the back... Kraloft? Kraloft? What? Kraloft? I don't know.
The funniest part of that is you mispronounced this.
She doesn't even know Kraloft.
So... She hasn't listened to the back catalog,
well, it's
okay?
It's like,
there's like...
It's like so Kraloft.
I thought you did that on purpose.
Who's
not like
Kraloft.
Like Kraloft. Yeah. No T.
I know like Anfernee.
No, it's really funny, though.
The worst part is that I know this, but I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm taking the role of the Alex getting the name.
No, it's perfect.
Tonight.
It's really funny because it's like exactly in character.
I don't know if Alistair wants to come back, but I know that he probably didn't want to die, and we led him down here. This magic brings him back as he was. This is not a version of him or any sort of ethereal other. It just brings back him as his own internal self. And he can make that call then.
Well, if he makes that call, then he kills himself again?
Well, I don't know. He can go fight some more dragon cultists, I guess.
Have you ever even done this before?
And there's this split second where, like, all these emotions kind of cross her face, and then she just goes, like, stone. She's like, no. I haven't done it before. I've seen it done, but I haven't done it before.
And Durin pipes up and says, well, I'll tell you one thing. If I die, don't bring me back.
Whoa.
Why, Durin?
Because I know that when I die, I'm going off to the great place with the dwarves, man. This is something that all dwarves know.
And I don't want to be wasting another minute with some magic spell that's going to help me live for a few more years in this miserable world. I mean, have you looked around lately? There's giants everywhere.
Okay, look, I hear you, Doran. And Jack, you must hear Doran too. And Mari, what if Alistair felt the way Doran feels right now? What if Alistair felt that his time was his time regardless of how? I mean, there are implications here that we should consider. I mean, I've been traveling with Doran for months now, and this is the first I've heard that he wouldn't want to be brought back.
Yeah, well,
maybe Alistair was the same way.
Mari isn't a necromancer. She's not going to force a body back to life. How dare you even imply that? And maybe you just don't understand how it works. I don't think she could force Alistair back alive if he wanted to. But if Alistair wants another chance, that's their choice.
It's true. This magic doesn't work if he doesn't want to come back.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's definitely
really?
Doran and I not understanding. Thanks, guys. Sorry. I mean, we're
yeah, that makes a whole hell of a difference, actually.
Yeah, I mean, sorry. We're just trying to figure out what he'd want. We'll do our
job. You know, when you say it like that...
Red Leg walks past them and goes to pick up the bodies. Anyway, we'll do our work, and you guys do go up ahead, and we'll just get rid of these bodies here. And I feel like Doran like joins him. He's like, "How? I mean, we didn't know. I thought you made a good point, Doran. I genuinely thought that was a good point."
Well, thanks.
Kraloth came back wrong.
I mean, hell.
They just had to say he wouldn't be Kraloth.
How do we know the creepy little dude is even, you know, lawful
good?
That's
what I'm saying, you know?
Mari always had her doubts. I don't know why they feel like they're...
I had my doubts, too. It seems like a bit of a change. But you know what? Hey, to each their own. I think they need this right now. They seem to be really... Yeah. You know, the two of them are acting a little fiery.
Get hit a little bit.
Yeah, you can't take a hit. I mean, welcome to adventuring life. You know what? You know what I wanted to ask her? I wanted to ask her how many fucking times she went down. Oh, did you go down, Mario? Oh, no? Well, guess what? We've all fucking been down like three times. God, take our fucking healing potions and walk it off.
You see, Jack, he's never held a sword before.
93 hit points over here, you know? God,
even his mage hand holds a sword wrong.
Anyway, help me with his feet.
That's amazing. Both of you get inspiration.
I
don't care if
giving mine away. Who doesn't have it?
That was so fucking good.
We all have inspiration now.
I know, but I just want to keep giving it. Good then.
Doran and Red, I imagine we throw the dragon cultists and sort of any evidence and Alistair into the magma get rid of the...
Yeah, into the magma. Cool.
And then after a few minutes, we head back down the tunnel and catch up with Mari and Jack.
As they,
they're muttering away, just like fucking marshals. Jesus Christ! And you just, I'll just hide off there, invisible, shooting arrows from a distance.
Stupid tactical logic.
It's bullshit.
Fuck you.
Oh, I'll just get up in his face and start.
What?
You know,
I mean, but
hits.
He does. It's not like, but
they're not nearly as.
It's not like it's not a thing Jack hasn't done every time.
Yeah, Jack's like, oh well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm mad at him too, but not for that reason. And I can't agree with you because then I'd condemn myself, and so I'm just gonna. Try and redirect you, but not succeed.
Yeah.
So while Red and Doran are disposing of these cultist bodies, Jack and Mari, you're what? Scouting ahead?
Mari realizes that the form of the archer is still sort of on her shoulder, and she kind of like looks at it and pulls at it almost, and it's weird how it feels, and she closes her eyes for a minute, and in a quick flash, the cape is gone, and it is now formed into this shimmering goblet of stars in her hand that she's now holding. And she's now using the starry form of the chalice. And she looks at Jack, and he looks beat up, and she feels beat up. And she pours a little bit of the shimmering, like glittering incorporeal liquid from that into her hand, and it all ripples outwards onto both her and Jack, and it's all healing magic.
The starlight heals the bruises and takes some of the cuts away. Jack's eyes go a little wide. That's incredible.
How much do you heal him for?
You do this while Red and Doran are disposing of the bodies.
Yes.
You heal yourselves up.
Just a little bit of private healing.
Awesome.
Jack gets 19 hit points back.
Whoa.
And Mari gets 24.
I feel like a few moments later, you see Red and Doran walking back over.
Dusting your hands.
Dusting our hands off. And we kind of stop in front of you guys. And Red just like eyes you both up and down, very, very clearly aware of what just happened. He's like, all right. Okay. Let's keep going. and he like heads up, still wounded. Like he took 20 damage in the last fight. Like he's himself, like, you know, bandaging himself up. He's like, you know, how much did you take any damage to him?
Yeah, I took 20 points of damage.
Yeah.
Oh well, hey, you know what? Yeah, you gotta do what you gotta do, right?
Yeah, but I mean, for someone giving me hassle about, you know, being invisible,
and then we like muddle off.
Red will remember this.
Yeah, it's like one of that moment in video games. Red will remember your actions.
Yeah, I mean it takes Jack to perfectly full hit points.
Yeah,
we're,
for real.
You're all up. Jack's back up to.
Yeah, it was exactly the right amount to have like no cuts, no bruises, no, you know, frozen bits anymore.
You don't even feel tired anymore. Cool. So you guys head off down the tunnel.
Thank you once again to our wonderful Patreon supporters, Adam Fry, Amanda Kitchener, Amy Garza, Anne Atholagoth, Cecil Lee Wilson, Jerry Rose Anderson, Christopher, Colin Burkhart, Crow, Casey, D.S., Dippity, Elizabeth H., Flynn, Gareth Bradshaw, Haley again, Harper the Marks, Indrid Hartley, Jekyll, J.D., Joy Robinson, Jory, K.R., K.M., Cade, Lasagna, Last Ruth on the left, Leader J., Lizzie Demon, Lorelei Feldman, Matilda Rushing, Melinda Curley, Moon, Melissa, Merlin, Sam C., Reagan, Ren, Ruth Ann Reed, Scotty, S-Ray 96, Tony Pepperoni, Xander Morning Dove, Zephyrus, and Zach House. Woo!
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.